My guest at this time is Jed Babin, former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense in the George H.W. Bush administration. He's also a contributing editor and frequent columnist for the American Spectator. We've asked him to offer his reaction to President Trump firing Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and what the general impression is of Tillerson's time as the nation's top diplomat. And we want to get some insight as to how the Trump administration ought to approach the upcoming talks with North Korea now that they're undergoing this shuffle at the top of the State Department. And Jed, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
The firing of Tillerson surprised a lot of people, but so did his hiring, given that he had international business experience, but never any government experience in this area. So based on what you can tell, was Tillerson mainly a success, a failure, or kind of middling at advancing American interests around the world?
Well, I hate to say it, but I think he pretty well failed. You go back, and we're going to talk about the Korea mess, but, you know, he, in December, basically begged the North Koreans to come to the negotiation table. He said, oh, we'll talk about the weather, we'll talk about the shape of the table, we'll talk about anything you want, without preconditions. And that was precisely the wrong thing to do. He has been opposing the president on getting rid of the Iran deal that Obama made, and I think that's pretty much the present reason why Mr. Trump fired him. That's the current reason. So I think he didn't do a great job, and I'm hopeful Mr. Pompeo will be a good replacement.
What do you know about Pompeo? Obviously, he was a congressman. He's spent time in the intel community even before becoming director of the CIA. But what kind of reputation does he bring to the job?
Well, I think he's going to be much more on President Trump's wavelength. He certainly has the president's confidence, which Tillerson did not. And I think that speaks well for his relationship with the outside world, because after all, he's going to be our top diplomat. And, you know, someone in that position has to be on the president's wavelength, when Tillerson certainly wasn't. So I think Pompeo could work out very well. But again, like everything else in Washington, we'll just have to see how it works out.
Exactly. A name that a lot of people are perhaps learning for the first time today, myself included, Gina Haspel. She's probably going to get a fairly tough review from Senate Democrats in her confirmation hearing to be the new CIA director, given her connection to the enhanced interrogation program back during the George W. Bush administration, something you and I talked about many times. What do we know about her? What can we expect from her if she actually is confirmed?
Well, we don't really know much about her. She's been the head of the clandestine service. She's gotten a lot of very top awards at CIA, and, you know, she's a CIA career professional. So it seems like she could work out. On the other hand, I'm hearing from a lot of my sources in that community that she really is pretty much a Brennan clone, and that's not a good thing. I think Mr. Trump would not have selected her if he was not confident that she would support him on things like getting out of the Iran deal. But we'll have to see. I think you're right. She's going to have a very rough time getting confirmed, and she may not be confirmed. The Democrats are going to go completely ape about the fact that she supervised the enhanced interrogation program. She was heavily involved in the extraordinary renditions business, and she's not going to get a warm reception on Capitol Hill by any means. So we'll just have to see if she gets confirmed. And I'm not sure where Mr. Trump's going to find a replacement. If it's not going to be her, it's going to be a very tough selection to get anybody in that top job, because it's a very difficult position, and it's clearly someone that the president has to have an enormous confidence in.
Well, that's certainly true, and you're right about the confirmation fight. The way things are polarized up on the Hill, it's going to be tough for anyone, and with John McCain essentially out of commission, one Republican defection means that a nomination can go down. So let's move on to North Korea, as we promoted at the beginning of the segment here. What's your reaction, first of all, to the president agreeing to meet face-to-face with Kim Jong-un? Some see any meeting at all as a PR bonanza for the North Koreans. Others say, look, this is only happening because crippling U.S. sanctions are forcing them to meet us. What's your take?
Well, I think they're both right. Certainly, it's going to be a propaganda bonanza for Kim. It's something that we frankly should not do without imposing preconditions. You know, as I wrote in Spectator this week, the fact of the matter is there has to be preconditions to any such negotiation. There almost always are. Any major summit is set up with the other side meeting some preconditions that we establish. And the fact that the president jumped into this without setting preconditions, you know, is something that's a really big mistake. It's not irremediable, but it's a very serious blunder. And he needs to establish some preconditions. I know that the press secretary, Sarah Sanders, said the day after President Trump accepted the invitation, well, okay, we want to see concrete steps and so on and so forth. But that's not what the president said. So he's going to have to make a public announcement of what he really wants to see and what the North Koreans have to do. I suggest strongly that the only real precondition, you know, the only thing that means anything, would be for them to verifiably mothball their nuclear testing and their missile testing. And that means we would have to have inspectors in North Korea, which I frankly think they'll never allow.
Well, that may very well be the case, which leads to the next question as to whether North Korea can ever be trusted even with inspectors. We've seen how Saddam Hussein, how the Iranians have kind of dodged what we thought or what we hoped or what at least the UN thought would be thorough inspections. I guess I should clarify that. So even if they do allow inspectors in, is there ever a point, given what we saw, how they handled the Clinton administration and even the George W. Bush administration and certainly the Obama administration, whether they're ever going to be on the up and up here?
Well, they're never going to be. And, you know, you can just look at the history of that regime going back to Kim's grandfather. They have broken every single agreement they ever entered into. They've renounced the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. Heck, they've even renounced the armistice agreement that ended the Korean War in 1953. So you can't trust these guys in any way. And again, unless you have immediate, intrusive, and you know, at-will inspections of everything in North Korea, there's really not going to be any basis for any agreement at all.
Do you expect any agreement to actually come out of this?
No. I think it'd be a mistake for us to make an agreement, given the fact that they've never agreed. They've never lived up to any agreement. So I think that there's really no room for agreement here. There is room for our sanctions to continue to work, and President Trump needs to have considerable praise and credit for that. But that's the only reason they're coming to the negotiation table right now, and we need to just keep them up, frankly, indefinitely.
No, we'll be watching. Jed, always appreciate your expertise. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Jed Babin, former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense in the George H.W. Bush administration, now a contributing editor and frequent columnist for The American Spectator. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.